several families went to spend an afternoon at the river. And some of the adults decided to walk out to an island in the middle of the river. And there was a five-year-old girl who decided that she wanted to go. Her father returned to the shore and took her hand. And as she stepped into the water, she held on tightly to a branch on the shore. She was afraid of the river, but wanted to go where her father was going. He told her, "You have to let go of the branch if you want to come with me." And she said, "I'm afraid that I'll sink." Her father replied, "I've got your hand, so you won't sink. If you do, I'll lift you up." So fearfully she let go of the branch. Her father knew that the water wasn't very deep at this point of the river, and he guided her feet to each rock along the way. When she started, she wasn't very confident, but as her father guided her feet to each rock, she gained confidence with each step. And she was eventually eager to reach for each stone, and it didn't take long until they were in the island in the middle of the river. That's how God deals with each of us. He tells us what he wants us to do, and then guides us each step of the way. And eventually we gain confidence in God's leadership and can do whatever he has asked. Psalm 37 tells us, "If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." Following the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and the death of Moses, the children of Israel have a new leader, and his name was Joshua. He's a mighty man of God. God has informed Joshua that the Israelites will soon be crossing the Jordan River to claim the inheritance that God had promised hundreds of years before. So Joshua sends two spies to Jericho. The ruler of the city is hunting for them, and a prostitute named Rahab takes the spies into her house and hides them. And after she convinces the king's messenger that the spies had already left, she allows them to spend the night and gets them safely out of the city. And when they leave, she tells them that everyone in Jericho is frightened of them because of the might of their God. They return and report to Joshua. This is where we're going to pick up the story from Joshua chapter 3 in the Bible. The Israelites were either going to cross the river or stay stuck on the side just short of God's promised blessings. And each of us today are standing at the juncture of our own Jordan River. The Jordan River is a symbol. It's a place where either you cross over or settle for just being short of where God wants you to be. So the first thing you need to do before crossing is to focus your eyes on God. Joshua 3, 1-3 says, "Early in the morning, Joshua and the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it." The Israelites had to wait an extra 3 days at Shittim before they could go. You know, sometimes we have to wait on God. We think things are ready to move forward. We figured it out according to our timing and not God's timing, because God is the creator of time. He doesn't measure time in the way we do. And in fact, time is not a limiting factor to God. 2 Peter tells us, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." The promise to Abraham concerning the promised land had been made over 500 years before this point in time. And the Israelites had been marching around the wilderness for 40 years. So what was 3 more days of waiting? However, the key is when God says it's time. The key to understanding the time is focusing on God. Notice the command was, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it." The Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of God's presence among his people. We have to keep our eyes focused on God. When God moves, we're supposed to move. Henry Blackaby wrote in a book, Experiencing God, we need to see what God is up to around us and then get involved. What would have happened if the Israelites would have said, well, that's okay, we'll just stay where we are. Instead, God says, here's the challenge, but here's how you'll get through it. God says, if you want to get across the obstacle, keep your eyes focused on me. Second thing we need to do is prepare your hearts. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Joshua delivered God's message to the people. But the first instruction was that they should prepare their hearts to consecrate themselves. In the King James translation, the word says it's to sanctify yourselves, means to set apart for service to God. To the Israelites, it meant that they would go through a process of sanctification. They would wash their clothes, married couples would abstain from sexual relations for a given time, and people would fast and seek God's face. How many times have we missed God's blessing because we've failed to prepare our hearts? We just say to God, you know, here I am, unclean, caused by the pollution of the world. Take me as I am or forget about me. When God wants to use us, he wants to move us. And he wants us prepared. Having taken the time to set ourselves apart from the world and preparing ourselves for service for him. The third thing we need to do is to listen to God's instructions, because God tells us how he wants things done. Joshua 3 continues, tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Sometimes his way seems weird or strange, but that's because his ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. His way is always best. Jeremiah tells us, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God expects us to do things his way because he has a plan and a purpose. And he always provides a way. Whether it be a way out, a way in, a way over, or a way through. The fourth thing we do is remember God's faithfulness. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, I can't say it's Gagishkarites, Amorites, and Jebusites, whatever. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. God has always gone out in front. He led them through the wilderness with a specific manifestation of his presence out the front. Exodus tells us, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of a cloud to guide them on their way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. And he promises us that he will always lead us. Deuteronomy tells us that God says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus said in Matthew, and surely I am... I muck that one up. Surely I am with you always to the end of the age. God has never failed to do what he said he would do. In fact, God is able to do much more than our finite minds could ever hope to see. Ephesians tell us, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Then the fifth thing we need to do to step in the water is to walk in obedience to God's call. Joshua continues, now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the ark of the covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled in a heap in a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. God expects obedience from us. 1 John 14 says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. God rewards obedience, Hebrews tells us. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Obedience is simply faith that is put into practice. The word faith is used over 220 times in the New Testament. And almost every time it's used as a verb, a word of action. Faith is simply our positive response to what God asks us to do. When the Israelites showed their obedience, God did what he said he would do. Now for those of you that know about rivers and how they flow, I say I'm not one of them, you know that when they crossed into that river, it wouldn't have stopped instantaneously. When the ark reached the edge, you know, everyone would have been standing there waiting for it. It was a rushing river during the harvest that would have had to slowly slow down to a trickle and eventually stop. And they would have been standing there waiting, and I have no doubt they're probably wondering, you know, is God going to come through with this? But it wasn't until they acted upon their faith that God did what he said he would do. Today I stand at a river's edge as I prepare to leave Woden Valley and take up a new appointment with the Salvation Army. And I'm finding myself have to rely on all five of these instructions to help me take that step. This corps is standing on the river's edge as you prepare to farewell one officer and welcome another, knowing that things will be different because Karen is not me and will naturally do different things different to how I do them. Maybe in your own life, you're standing at the river's edge for many different reasons. Perhaps God is calling you to a relationship with him, or even a deeper relationship with him. One thing I've learnt during my time here at Woden Valley is that church is all about relationship. Relationship with God and with each other. Don't leave today without having that relationship with God. How are you going to respond? Are you going to either cross over the river, or are you going to settle for just being short of where God wants you to be? And I'll ask the band if they can come back up.